We're going to continue now as we all stand. We're going to look at Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 11. Today we're going to actually complete the chapter. And so let's read a few verses, pray, and then we're going to let the Lord take over. One more quick announcement. If you did sign up for the Greece tour that's going to happen 2025 in October, we're going to have a meeting after the third service. So if you can come on back, we want to give you all information regarding that trip, and you can ask questions at that time. But here we are, Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 11. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Lord, we're so thankful that we get to hold your living word in the palm of our hand. And we pray that, again, you would be our teacher this morning. So speak to our hearts. Meet us right where we're at. And help us today to see, Lord, we have a story to tell. And so we give you this time now. Give you our hearts. Speak to us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Last week, as we looked at verses 6 to 10, Paul revealed to us that there is only one gospel. And we had an opportunity to look through the word and allow the word to interpret the word. And we discovered not only is there one gospel, there is literally only one way for a person to have a right relationship with God. And that is through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And so as Paul has been defending not only his authority as an apostle, but the very message that he's preaching. And we're going to continue to see that even in this next section. And notice with me in verse 11, it says that I make known to you. In other words, Paul wanted these churches and also the false teachers that have crept into the church to know that the gospel that he preached is not according to man. It does not have human origin. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Bible that you're holding in your hands, listen, did not originate with man. We need to understand and know that God's word, yes, was written by men. The Bible tells us that very clearly. But it also tells us that the men God used were moved. In other words, they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Not only is this found in the Bible, but I want you to see this. So I want to encourage you, turn your Bibles with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. So that we can read this ourselves. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, and we're going to read up to verse 21. Notice what it says. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. And this is what he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And this particular portion of scripture is when Jesus was baptized. Next verse. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And this is also referring to the Mount Transfiguration when Jesus and Elijah and Moses appeared with him on that mountain. So we see God's voice speak two times concerning Jesus, declaring that this was his beloved son and that we should listen to him. Let's go on, verse 19. Peter continues to say, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by what? Okay, only half of you participated. By what?
The Holy Spirit.
Thank you. What was Peter wanting us to know? That every single portion of God's word, everything that we just read and cover and study through the scriptures of the testimony of Jesus Christ, it never originated with man. Men were moved by the Holy Spirit to pen what we have today. This is God's very word. And so one of the things that I pray is, as Paul is making his case concerning his message, he goes on in verse 12 to say this, "For I neither received it from man, nor did any man teach me." The apostles played no part in passing on or teaching Paul about Jesus Christ. But what did Paul declare? That the message I preach came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, what Paul is saying here is that he received it directly from Jesus himself. Jesus personally communicated with Paul. And again, it came as a divine revelation, not from human resources. Jesus not only personally communicated with Paul, but again, as we see, it is Jesus who opens up our heart and our eyes and our understanding to God's word and gives us clarity to who he is. And let me give you a simple example. I remember when Marisa was trying to get her heart right with God. She fell away and she was going back to church, and I was not a believer. Yes, we were unequally yoked. Don't judge us, okay? But the reality is she was getting her heart right with God. I wanted nothing to do with Jesus. And when I would get home from work, you know, she'd put my dinner on the table, and then she'd put her Bible there, open it up, and say, "You need to read this." And I'm like, "I don't need to read anything right now. Get this Bible away from me. You and Jesus, you're good. I'm good. I don't need him." That was my attitude. But then whenever she would go to the store, I'd open up the Bible. And I would want to see what she was trying to tell me. And of course, when I would read it, because I was still in darkness, I had no connection with God, it meant nothing to me. I couldn't understand it. But when I gave my heart to the Lord, man, Jesus opened up not only my heart and my understanding, but the dots started connecting for me to believe in who Jesus was. That's the way God works. And so the reality is that Jesus himself was connecting the dots for Peter to see that everything that he learned from the law and all of the things that he learned from the prophets, they all pointed to Jesus. And his eyes and his heart were finally open to understand and know that Jesus was the Messiah that Israel was waiting for. So he had this divine revelation. And here's what I pray would encourage you today. In the same way that Jesus spoke with the Apostle Paul and the other apostles, listen carefully, beloved. Jesus' desire is to speak to you and me directly. Okay, let me say it again. He wants to speak to you directly. What I want you to see is this is powerful, because you and I have the ability to hear God's voice. Some of you might say, "Well, how?" And I'm glad you asked, okay? This is how you get to be familiar with God's voice. This is how you will know God's voice, is when you spend time in his word. Now, I have a mixed crowd here this morning, so I'm going to see which way you guys lean on this one. But let's just bring this to a way that we can understand this. How many people in this room, show of hands, would like to have an arranged marriage? Oh, there's a brave hand back there. All right. If we're parents, yes. If you're single, absolutely not. Right? I mean, how would you feel if one day you show up and you go home and all of a sudden your mom and dad say, "Hey, here's your husband." Like, what? Like, how? Like, I don't even know this guy. None of us would like that. And when I look at my past and having an opportunity, and let's just kind of go back memory lane for a little bit. Let's just remember, guys, when you saw your wife, may have been in a Bible study, may have been at a disco, whatever, okay? But it started off with a glance, right? And then you did the, "Sup?" Smile. You got bold and you went up and you presented yourself, mustered up that gentleman voice, and you just started talking. You later then maybe asked for a phone number. And from that point on, there was some time of spending with one another. There was this time of you desiring just to pick up a phone and call that person. Okay, I'm gonna call her. I told her I'd call her at 5, but I'm not gonna be too, you know, show like I'm really desperate. I'm gonna call at 5:02. Right? But you were thinking about that phone call since 12 o'clock in the afternoon. And talking on the phone led to other dates and hanging out and spending time with each other to the point of actually coming to that place of saying, will you marry me? It all takes time. And what I love about the scriptures is this. You want to know God's voice, He can and He has the power to speak to you immediately. But the reality is if you have a desire to grow and get to know His voice beyond all the other voices that are going on in your head and around our world, you're only going to know His voice when you spend time with Him. When you get into His word, because it is His word where we get the blessing of discovering who He is. It is through God's word. Listen, God reveals Himself to us. God desires to have a personal and intimate relationship with you. Think about that. Out of everybody on the face of this earth, the very one who spoke everything into existence wants to know you. Not only does He want to know you, but through His word, we get to know His heart. We get to, listen, get to know His character. How many of you have ever been in a service, or maybe you had the blessing of being a part of a concert of Christian artists today? And I'll tell you, one of the most impactful concerts that I ever been to was a Mercy Me concert. I was coming off of the mission field on a furlough. I was discouraged. I showed up to this concert not knowing who Mercy Me was at the time, but then sitting like about 3 rows away from the stage, and literally I could tell you that almost the whole night I was just bawling because of the intimacy, because of the way that God was just ministering to my heart just through the songs, just through the words of hearing how good my God is, and despite my circumstances, my God is good. And so when we dig into God's word, all throughout Genesis to Revelation, we discover His infinite love, grace, and mercy. Listen, hang on to Lamentations, for God's mercies is what? New every day. Praise the Lord for that. When you dig into God's word, God reveals salvation through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, we read and we discover the simple gospel message. Beloved, don't ever forget the simple 3 phrases that we gave you. He came, He died, He rose again. Yes, you need to do some studying to explain each one of those, but if you remember those things, you will always give people a complete gospel message. We discover that when we read through the Bible, Jesus is the only one who can deliver us from sin and from being eternally separated from God. When we read through the Bible, transformation and growth happens. When we surrender our hearts to God, listen, this is what you need to know about God. God does not force anybody to follow Him. God does not force anybody to believe in Him. He has given each and every one of us a free will to make a decision. And your decision, again, has consequences. You will either make the right decision or the wrong one. There are only 2 destinies for all of us. And the reality is, once we take our last breath here on earth, those 2 destinies are, one will be with God for all eternity in heaven where streets are gold. Can we go now? Right? Or gnashing of teeth and fire and brimstone, which is hell. There's no other place. And you can't transfer once you take your last breath here. Nobody can pray you from one side to the other. God has made it very clear in His word. There's only 2 destinies. And when we go in this relationship with a surrendered heart, this is where God begins to do an amazing work. I'm pretty sure if we were transparent in this room, some of us in this room came to the Lord with a broken heart. But now that you know God, now that you have been walking with God, isn't it a blessing to see Him restore that heart? When we're in God's word and we give him our heart, he comes and he renews it, he cleans it, and then he removes, listen, those things that are hindering us from growing in him. I love the fact that God has a desire when he died for us not to leave us the way that we were. God's desire is to mold and shape us into his image. That's God's desire for all of us. You want to know what God set out for your life? The general one for all of us as believers, to change us from the inside out, that we would look more like Jesus. This is the process called sanctification. This process is when a believer grows in their relationship with Christ. This process, listen carefully, beloved, will not end until you see Jesus face to face. We are all still a work in progress. Listen, do me a favor. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you're still a work in progress. We need to be reminded. We need to remember God is the one doing the work in us. Let him do it. Let him meet you right where you're at. Let him come in. Let him clean. Let him prune. Let him remove those things that are happening in your life. And as much as possible, don't be discouraged. Your life, my life, does not change overnight. It's a process. So hang in there. Let God continue to minister and work in and through you. When you read through your Bible, listen, the next one I have here is it guides. There's guidance for living. God has given us instructions and are very clear in his word and how to live a life that is pleasing to him and how to treat one another. Listen, I know because we're imperfect people. Listen, there are chances that we will hurt each other. There are chances that we will say things that we don't necessarily mean and can be, you know, taken wrong. And I want to remind us of one thing. Because we're family in Christ, we need to remember to let God give us the words to speak to one another. That we need to make sure that we are definitely leaning into him before we speak and have conversations with anybody. Don't ever allow your emotions to lead you. Because the reality is when you do that, majority of the time, you will be stirred in a wrong direction and you will make matters worse. When we dig into God's word, we start seeing right from wrong. When we dig into God's word, he gives us the ability to see wisdom, and then it helps us to make major decisions. And if there's any life alternating decisions that you need to make, here's what I have discovered. When God speaks, he never contradicts his word. He will always lead you. And again, God's desire is to give you what is best. It will be in line with his word, and God will definitely encourage us how to treat one another. When we believe in Christ, listen, our life will look completely different. You know, for those of you who know this, Marisa just had a surgery on her knee. She had a reconstruction of her ACL. So she's been kind of at home and, you know, in pain. That's the easiest way to say it. And so when we were at the hospital or at the clinic where she was doing the surgery, we had met with the surgeon several times. But at the facility that we were at, there was a brother who comes to this church there. He worked there. And as soon as Marisa was getting prepped and ready to go, we were just waiting for the surgeon to show up. And all of a sudden, this brother came and we just started talking. He's like, oh, I didn't know you were going to come in today. And like, well, we didn't know you worked here. You know, surprise. And we were just talking and catching up with one another. And then the surgeon comes in and he's like, you guys know each other? And then this brother says, yeah, you know, whenever we start talking about church, which is a lot, right? And the surgeon goes, yeah. And he goes, well, a lot of the stuff that I'm telling you, I got from my pastor. This is my pastor. And the guy looked like, really? Like, no. Whatever. No, I'm just kidding. I just kidding. Do that. But he was like, okay, now I'm connecting some dots. I knew that there was something different, but, it's awesome that you guys know each other. And then we prayed for him. We prayed that God would guide his hands, and not just for Marisa's surgery, but the surgery that he was going to have afterwards. And then, listen, after the surgery was done, he came out and he says, let me share with you what we did. And he walked me through this. And then he just sat there and asked, like, so tell me a little bit more about you. Like, how did you become a pastor? And I'm like, you got time? I know you have another surgery. You know, how much time do I got here? And so just shared our testimony. Just shared of what God was doing in our life. And again, all of this, it wasn't because I got a chance to share my testimony. But what blew me away was the testimony of this brother to everybody in that office. Because they started coming and asking, hey, how do you know this person? Hey, this guy is legit. Like, we really were blessed by him. His life has been radically changed because of his belief in Christ, and he's making an impact where he works. And so our life will look different. No doubt about it. And so our desire should be to live for God's will. This is all going to take place when we give our heart to the Lord, when we surrender it and we spend time in his word, because it is his word that is going to transform our lives. And the other thing that I pray that you would understand and know as you walk away today, that you not only can believe in the Bible, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 tells us that all of God's word is pure. We're not to add to it or take away from it. It's been tested and tried, and no one's been ever to discredit it. But the other important thing is that God's word equips us in righteousness. I want you to take note of this verse. Notice what this says. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture, every single verse in our Bible is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is what happens when we dig into God's word. He not only gives us guidance and direction, he reveals to us the gospel message, and then he allows us to see the beauty that we play a part in building for his kingdom. He equips us to go out and accomplish his will. So these are amazing things that I pray, even with these two verses that Paul gives us, not only is he defending his apostleship and his message, but an encouragement for us today that you and I, that God desires to speak to us directly, and God desires to use us. He desires to work in and through our lives and to build for his kingdom. This is encouraging. Now let's pick up in verse 13 to 14. Let's go back to Galatians. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. And so in this next section that we're going to look at, we are going to look at verse 13 all the way to verse 24. And Paul is going to give us his personal testimony, his personal story. And I want to lay this out for you because he's going to do this in three parts. He's going to talk about his life before coming to Christ. He's going to talk about how Jesus touched his life, how his life got transformed and radically changed. And then he's going to tell us what he's been doing after becoming a believer. If you remember these three phrases or these three steps, you yourself can share your own personal story. And so notice with me, verse 13 and 14, Paul says, for you have heard, in other words, the word has spread about Paul's life, who he was, his former way of life. And his former way of life, he says, I was a part of Judaism. I was one of those Judaizers. Did you notice that? He's actually saying, I was once a part of the very group that's trying to discredit my ministry. I was running with those guys. Not only are they trying to discredit his ministry, but notice this, before coming to Christ, he says that I advanced in Judaism. He grew above many of his contemporaries or his peers. And I want you to notice that the wording he uses is extremely zealous. Listen, Paul had such a devotion, a deep commitment to following after the law and all of the man-made laws that these religious leaders were making that they believed made them holier than other people. This testimony of Paul's life, again, describes his character. He literally thought he was following God. The next thing that Paul reveals is this. He persecuted the church beyond measure, intensely. Paul's mission, again, was to destroy the church, God's church. He persecuted men, women, and even children. He was given authority by the religious leaders to persecute any followers of Jesus. And I want you to kind of take note of this because, again, if you were to read this description to anybody today, Paul would have been described as a modern-day terrorist. So hateful and so desiring to destroy God's people. That was his past. And I want to remind us, though it was his past was not final. And that includes us. Our past is our past. Let's put it behind us. And now I want you to see from verse 15 to verse 16. Notice what this says. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among Gentiles. Now I want you to see this. We went through Paul's past life very briefly, but now he gets detailed with how Jesus touched his life, how his life was radically changed. And I want you to notice this, but when God, grace and a changed life always starts with God's grace. God showing his favor upon you and me. And it says here, but when God stepped in and touched Paul's life, God separated him from his mother's womb. The word separated here means to set aside a person for a particular task or function, to appoint, to set apart for. Sometimes you also may see the word holy. It doesn't mean to be perfect. It means to be set apart. And so when we look at this first statement of Paul, when God touched my life, he's the one who called me. He's the one who separated me. And he recognizes that it was all through God's grace, God's unmerited favor. What else does Paul reveal? Not only is this calling from God, not only did he touch my life, but that revelation of his son came from what? Divine revelation. Again, confirming what he said in verse 12. I didn't receive this message from man, but God himself delivered it to me. So this message was a divine message that God opened up his heart and his eyes to see and understand. The next thing that Paul declares when Jesus touched his life, the calling that he received, what was it? To preach Jesus to the Gentiles. This, again, was God's plan for Paul. And what I want to share with you is God has a plan for you. God has a desire that each and every person that knows him would go out and share of his goodness and love and how Jesus has made an impact in your own personal life. Again, sharing the gospel message to those who don't hear is important. You know, yesterday I had the blessing of doing a wedding in Zion, and when we were coming back, I'll share a little bit more about it later, but as we were coming back, we stopped at the signal light, and there was a gentleman with a bullhorn standing on the street corner, and he was just going for it. It's the first time I've seen it in St. George, but he was going for it, and one of the things he said, I hope you can hear my voice, and I hope you know that God loves you. But also, you need to understand there's a judgment day coming. And we're all going to stand before God. And Marisa rolled down the window and we were listening to him and gave him a thumbs up and said, keep going, keep preaching. He was just declaring the truth. He was declaring it. That was his calling. That was his way of demonstrating God's goodness and love. Paul's was to go and preach the Gentiles. But here's the point I want to make. It was Jesus who turned his life around. True repentance will always bear fruit, beloved. And what I want you to see is this. It's a complete 180 degree turn. Notice this. Remember, before he became the great apostle, what did he just declare about his life before? That he had a desire to destroy God's church. When he was touched by Jesus on that road to Damascus, he is now building for God's church. From going out and harming and arresting people and stripping them of their freedom, throwing them into prison, now Paul is directing them to Jesus for them to be saved and to be set free from sin. A 180 degree turn. That's fruit. When God gets a hold of a person's life, you will see a 180 degree difference. This is how Paul's life has been radically changed because of God's grace. Jesus touched him. And look at how the impact we're getting ready to see when a life surrenders to Jesus. Now let's pick up in verse 16b, and I'm going to read the rest of the chapter. Notice this. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. Now verse 17. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Verse 20. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. Afterward, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they were hearing only. He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. Verse 24 is important. And they glorified God in me. So now here's the third section of Paul's story, Paul's life after coming to Christ. Notice again, verse 16b, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. In other words, Paul did not go out and, you know, get t-shirts printed up. I'm a born-again believer. Okay? He didn't go out and make it publicly known. He didn't go out and consult with other people. Notice what it says here. He didn't ask for advice. He did not go up to Jerusalem, which was the center of worship where the church was birthed and where the leaders of the church were. He did not go and say, I'm a born-again believer, guys. Welcome me into the family. He didn't do any of that. But he says very clearly, yet he went away to an isolated place and he went to Arabia. Now there are different opinions on when Jesus actually opened up Paul's heart and his eyes to understand the gospel. Some believe that it happened on that road to Damascus when he fell to the ground and his own response of, who are you, Lord? Many believe there was a divine already intervention as well as a divine revelation of who God is. For him to say the word Lord, again, with his hatred toward the church, it was instantly changed. So it's very possible it could have happened on the road to Damascus. A second viewpoint is when he was in Damascus waiting for Ananias to come to him. But not only then, we're going to discover that Paul was literally in Damascus for 3 years. So it could have been any part of that time. The third opinion is in Arabia. Many believe that he went out to be alone to restudy the Torah, to go back into the scriptures and the law, and that it was there that Jesus began to, again, connect the dots. I want to share with you my personal opinion, and you can disagree with this all you want, and that's okay. But my personal opinion is this. It doesn't have to be one or the other. I believe it's all three. Remember that the work of sanctification does not end. It is a process that happens all the way through our life. So even though the Apostle Paul was the Apostle Paul some years later, he was still growing in his faith just like you and me. And so not only was he growing, but this is, again, important to take note because we can read our Bibles and at times think that immediately he did ministry. There was a 3-year preparation before he would go out and begin to do his public ministry. And I believe it was in these 3 years that Paul discovered the very words that he penned in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. In view of God's mercy, I beseech you therefore, brethren. What is it that Paul was begging people? In view of God's mercy, now that you know the depth of what God has done for you and not given us what we truly deserve, what is our response? That we would give him what he rightfully deserves, which is our life, to be a living sacrifice for him. That's what the Apostle Paul, 180 degree from destroying the church and being deeply committed to fulfilling that mission, to now being one of the most amazing preacher, church planners, living sacrifice unto the Lord. This is an amazing picture that I pray you would not miss. God was working in and through Paul, and he would begin his public ministry soon. Notice verse 18. After 3 years of being in Damascus, after 3 years of spending time with the Lord, Paul would finally go up to Jerusalem, and he would specifically go to see Peter, who was one of the main pillars of the church. Not only was his visit a short visit, it lasted only 15 days, but the reason why is because Paul's life was threatened by the Hellenists, another group that was religious who were angry at Paul because he preached the gospel. Once his life was threatened, he left. Now I want you to also see this. He met with James, who was the Lord's brother. Here's a little bit of a side note. I know that many of us have family members that are praying to come to know Jesus. They're on our prayer list. Jesus had siblings, and while he was on the face of this earth, they didn't believe in him. But there's recorded that many of his siblings became believers after the church. Who was one of them? James. Who was another? Jude. Don't ever think that God cannot move, or that God can, let me back up. Remember this, that God can move even if you depart. God can still move in a powerful way. And even if it meant it would be at my celebration of life that my family would come to know the Lord, it would be all worth it. Amen. Right? And so take note of this. His only other pillar that he saw, the only other leader in the church, was James, the Lord's brother. Now notice verse 20. He pauses and he gives us a little side note. Notice this. Now concerning the things which I write to you, before God I do not lie. In other words, this is what he wants the church and these false teachers to hear. We can read this portion of scripture as if, even if God was standing right next to me, my message would not change. The word that I'm giving you would not go in a different direction. Even if Jesus was personally standing next to me in front of you, you would hear the exact same message. What I'm sharing with you is no lie. And back then, in that time, these were some strong words. And the reality is Paul said, I'm telling you the truth. And in verse 21 to verse 24, after leaving Jerusalem, he heads to Syria and to Cilicia. Even though Paul was born in Cilicia, remember, he left at a young age, so nobody knew him by face. Nobody knew him as an adult. He went there, and nobody would know that it was the young, little Saul at 13 years old. I got to make fun of my grandson. My oldest grandson, his name is Zayden, and he sent his little school picture, right? And he's got a little fuzz. And everybody was saying, oh, man, that's a great picture. And I'm all like, Check out that stash, though. Why did I say that? I don't know. Anyways, let's move on. Oh, he wasn't recognized. He wasn't recognized. There you go. He wasn't recognized by anybody, and the churches there that were in the area had no idea what he looked like, but they only heard of his life. They heard of the testimony. And I want you to see this. They heard what? The one who formerly, that's an important word, his past. This is the way that he was before, but not anymore. One who formerly persecuted us, now, the present, preaches the faith. He preaches the gospel which he once tried to destroy. And then verse 24, and all of them, they all glorified God. Notice this. They didn't say glorify Paul. They glorified God in me. Paul was quick to make sure that we understood that any praise that is deserved goes to God. They were not elevating Paul. They were praising God for the work that God did in and through him. Can you imagine? I'm not sure what the latest name of the number one terrorist group out there in our world today, but I remember during the time of Osama bin Laden, and I remember just recently with all of the war that's going on with Hamas and with all of the other terrorist groups out there, can you imagine if their president, their main leader, became a born-again believer? Because this is like a modern day, this would be a modern day example of the life of Paul. And what is important for us to see that God had the ability and the power to change a hard heart from one who was a Judaizer, from one who, again, was persecuting the church, to now becoming the greatest missionary church planter ever recorded in history. God has the power and the ability to do that work. And this is what I also want you to see. This truth was definitely a blow to those false teachers. To hear, as they tried to undermine all that Paul was doing to discredit his ministry, Paul is saying, look at what God has done. You can't ignore what God has been doing, and other people are receiving the gospel message. And this message originated not with man, it came from God. So he not only defended his authority and his apostleship, but also the message of Jesus Christ. So today, beloved, what's our takeaway from this? There's a few things I want to share with you. And it is my prayer after hearing Paul's testimony, after hearing his conversion, I want to gently remind you and encourage you that God desires to speak to you directly. I want you to know that I am super blessed whenever the service is over and many of you will come up to me and say, thank you, Pastor, for that word. It ministered to my heart. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord for that. It's God speaking to you. It is God giving me the words to speak to you and what is pinned in the notes and sometimes that are even not in my notes that God gives. But it's all coming from the Lord. And what I love about this is that if God can speak to you here at this service, this is what else I want you to know. God wants to speak to you when you're at home. God wants to speak to you when you're waiting at that red signal light that's taking forever. Right? God wants to speak to you, especially in those times when you're going through the storms. God has a desire to speak into your life. And this blows me away because, again, how many of you have ever been frustrated when you really need to get a hold of somebody and they don't answer? Or you leave a message and they don't answer. And then you put the question mark and they don't answer. And then you put the question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. And they still don't answer. What I love about the Lord is he doesn't do that. And some of you might be saying, well, why doesn't he answer my prayer? What makes you think he hasn't? You just may not like the answer. The reality is God's timing is always perfect. And he will give us what we need when we need it. But I want you to know today that God wants to speak directly to you. The next thing I want to challenge you with, if now that you know this truth, find a place whatever your Arabia may be. Find a place where God can speak to you without any distractions. I know many of you have probably watched that movie, War Room. Okay, I'm not asking you to go clean out your closet. Okay? But find a place where God can speak to you. And he'll speak to you so that no other voice is competing with his. Find that place. Because again, God desires to speak to you. Don't ever take that for granted. Know that he is waiting and wanting to minister and to direct you by his word for your life. The other thing that I pray that I can encourage us today is this: praise God for his mercy. Despite our past, despite where we may have been and the things that we have done, he can turn our life around. You know, I was kidding earlier about the surgeon when he said, really? You know, when he found out I was a pastor. But there are times when people do like look at me crooked and go, you're a pastor? It's like, yeah, like, sorry that it's hard to believe, but I am. And here's the thing that I pray is that whatever people will hear and whatever people will see in my life will always come back to the fact that this is God's story. And I am thankful that he didn't say, I'm tired of you. I give up on you. You've been too bad. He didn't push me to the curb when I was out there running amok. He was willing to forgive. And I praise the Lord that my past failures are not final. And I pray that for you as well. That you would know God can take the craziest mess up and turn their life around to become just as amazing as the Apostle Paul. Our God has the power and the ability to do that. And then the last thing I want to encourage us with, go out and tell your story. Let people hear how good God has been and how he radically changed your life. Your story may not be as radical as Paul, but you have a story. Just remember before, how God spoke to you, how he touched your life, and what he's doing now in your life. And if you want help with that, sign up for the evangelism class or the sharing of Jesus class. Gary and the other people that will be there will help you just develop a way to share God's goodness to people that are around you. But God desires to use you and me today to be the primary source of making his name known. And beloved, that is a privilege. Can I get an amen for that? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word today, and I thank you for blessing us with this time that we have had to, Lord, again, hear from the Apostle Paul and the way that he, again, reminds us that your word is your word. It did not originate from man. You were the one who moved and inspired men to write it. And it is your word that has the power to change and transform lives. And we've seen it in the Apostle Paul, and we see it here within this fellowship with the lives of those who love you. I pray, God, in the power of your precious name, that you would help all of us from this day forward to go out and to share our story so that others may come to that saving faith as we have. And so, Lord, bless your people today. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I just want to take a moment. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your heart to the Lord. You've never believed in why you needed to be forgiven of sins or understood any of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I just want to share this with you, that God loves you. And God made a way for all of us to be with him for all eternity, to remove sin, to remove that bondage of having a rebellious nature toward him, to having the ability to say no to sin and to live for him. God has provided it all. And all he asks is that we would believe. That we would believe that it's because of him and his grace that sets us free from Satan, sin, death, and hell. When we believe that, we can receive this amazing gift of everlasting life, that we can be with him for all eternity. And if this is you, right where you're at, I want to encourage you, just slip up your hand, and it would be an honor to pray for you today. Praise the Lord, I see your hand here in the center. Anyone else? Lord, I want to thank you for the hand that was raised, and I pray that if there's any others, that you would join in on this prayer. And I just want to encourage you that it's not the raising of your hand that saves you, it's your heart. So anybody can pray this prayer as long as it's sincere and between you and the Lord. So if there's anybody here, once again, who wants to get their heart right with God, repeat this prayer with me. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross. And I've learned today that he died for the sins of the world. God, I come before you and I confess that I've sinned against you. Would you please forgive me? For I believe by faith in Jesus' death and his resurrection. I believe by faith that through his death and resurrection, my sins are forgiven and I'm at peace with you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and for saving me. God, would you please come into my life and teach me your ways from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I want to encourage you today, if you made that prayer sincere between you and the Lord, off to my left is going to be a pastor coming up shortly. Someone's going to meet you there, and they're going to give you a Bible and get you started on the right steps and walking with the Lord. If you do have any prayer requests after the service, we'll have an amazing prayer team. Let's all stand. Let's give glory to God and continue to go out there and share our story. Amen.